Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to our Blog Talk listeners. Thank you tonight for joining in to my sister, my friend. Tonight, we want to give a shout out to all our partners, all our friends, all our loved ones, and we hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, did some good fellowshipping with your family and your friends, and ate up a lot of stuff that now that you're going to have to diet to get off and get ready again for the Christmas holidays. But we're so grateful tonight to come to you once more, and again, we thank God for the privilege. Tonight we have, again, Minister Randall with us tonight, who will be giving us some information and some tips and some encouragement and inspiration on leadership. We just want you to know that we're thankful for her, and we want to open your ears and minds and hearts to what it is required for leadership, what is required for your ministry, what is required for your character and your motive in a leader. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and ask Minister Randall to give us what's on her heart.
Well, good evening, everyone, Blog Talk listeners. Sister Lewis, thank God for you, and Sister Beverly for having us here again on tonight. We're just excited about going into the season of the open door, what God is doing. And so as we go into the new year, I've just been in prayer, you know, seeking God as to what would help us, you know, not just you, but us, which includes myself, as we go into 2016, planning as for our you know, our fleshly jobs, our 9-to-5s, we're planning and the ministries that we work with, the nonprofits that we're connected to. And the Holy Spirit just laid in my heart to talk tonight about leadership. So that's what we'll get into tonight. So for all the listeners tonight, I please, as we speak tonight, I would love to have some dialogue, want to hear your questions, want to hear some of the challenges that you're facing, your feedback as it relates to leadership. And tonight we'll touch on about 5 areas of leadership. The number one area that we'll touch on tonight is the need for leadership. And I think that not only the church but the world as a whole has sometimes forget that leadership is needed. It's something that we need. We need leaders. The second thing we'll talk on tonight is the requirement of a leader. Third, we'll talk a little bit about your ministries, whether you're leading a ministry or you're a partner within a ministry. Fourth, we'll talk about developing character, making sure that we have the right character to be in leadership. And last but not least, we'll talk about godly motivation, because we know that motivation is required as we're leading people. It's our duty and responsibility to not only lead them, but to also influence them and to motivate them with godly motivation. So I hope that this topic tonight is something that that is needed by the audience. It's been a blessing to me as I've studied through this, so I want to share with you on tonight. So that's what we'll be talking about tonight, Sister Lewis.
All right. Bless God. We'll go right ahead while we wait on our listening audience to dial in. Anyone listening on computer, they can dial in to 310-982-4126. I'm hoping that you all received my mass email and that you'll join us tonight as Minister Randall give us these points of power. That's what we're going to call them tonight, because they are going to help us to be great leaders and examine ourselves and see if we are the leaders that God has called us to be. So without, go ahead and start your topic.
Thank you, Sister Lewis. I mean, and again, being a leader in ministry and, you know, also managing at work, this is a topic that I'm constantly studying, because we don't often as leaders get feedback. Now, we're always giving feedback to people that work up under us or next to us, but a lot of times leaders don't get feedback. So sometimes we can be leading and we think we're doing an awesome job, and we'd be missing the mark. So being a leader in all capacities, including being the, you know, the primary person in my home, I'm constantly being led by the Holy Spirit to things as it relates to leadership. So the first thing that I began to seek God about was, what was the need? Why do we need leaders? Because a lot of people have an issue following, and everybody wants to be a leader. But we know that's not biblical, and that's not the structure that God has designed. And so I studied it from a biblical perspective. Then I also studied it from a natural perspective, because I think it's important that we know both, because in every area of our life, leadership is required. So the first thing that I read about was actually a quote from one of the presidential candidates that they made a statement. They said, "There go the people. I must follow them because I am their leader." So, and I was like, "Okay, there go the people. I must follow them because I'm their leader." And I was like, "Okay, that's key. That stuck out to me, because when you're leading people, people need to feel very well. They know you're the leader. They need for you to be transparent, so that they feel that they respect you as a leader, but at the same time, they value you as a person, knowing that you're not one of those leaders who just give commands, but you also are willing to roll your sleeves up and get in there and work if need to be." And so that's what that stuck out to me, because he was following the people. And just because a leader was following doesn't mean that he wasn't a leader. And I said, "God, help me tie this back to the biblical sense." And there's a few scriptures that the Holy Spirit led me to. And I'll begin with Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse. And it says, "The Lord said to me, go and lead the people so that they will go in and take the land I have promised their ancestors." So God was giving this commandment to go in and lead the people, because they could not go in and possess the land that God had promised them without a leader. I'm like, okay, that's key. So there's a need for leadership, because when God was giving the commandments in the Bible, if there wasn't a Joshua, if there wasn't a David, if there wasn't a Moses, I just thought about how chaotic things would be if everyone was just doing what they wanted to do and no one was leading and giving direction. That would be a very chaotic, just crazy world if that was the case. And so I went to Deuteronomy and I read that. I'm like, okay, there is a need for leadership, A, because there has to be someone in charge who's setting the groundwork, who's providing the direction, because 100 people can't be telling you what to do. It would be just absolutely chaotic. And then I went to 2 Chronicles 1 and 10, and it says, "Now give me the wisdom and knowledge so I can lead these people in the right way, because no one can rule them without your help." And so, again, the Bible just comes back to confirm that leadership is a requirement. So that's the first thing that we want to make clear, is that in anything that you're operating in, whether it be church ministry, whether it be on your regular job, if you're working as part of a nonprofit, if you play sports on the side, regardless of whatever you do, even if you work in a hair salon, there has to be someone who's leading, because if there's no one leading, that means you got 100 people going in 100 different directions, and that would be absolutely chaotic, and nothing would not get accomplished if there's no leader setting a goal. So we want to let everyone know tonight that a leader is absolutely required. Leadership is a requirement. And one of the needs for leadership is that leaders are mature people. They're mature Christians. Mature Christians are always going to lead in some capacity. Now, so in this sense, leadership is not just about ministry with followers, but it's about establishing a ministry that people will want to follow. As mature Christians, as mature women, as mature men of God, we have to be able to influence others and to be able to lead by example and have the right attitude as it relates to these things. In Proverbs 8 and 12, it tells us, "I am wisdom and I am smart. I also have knowledge and good sense. Princes use me to lead, and do so by important people who judge fairly." So in leadership capacity, it's important that there are certain things that we bring to the table, because if the people don't have anyone leading them, they can be sent the wrong way. It's the same way in our home life. God gave parents for a reason. Just imagine a world with no parents, where children were just able to do whatever they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it, how they wanted to do it, and no one was giving them any direction. How would the world be if you were not there to provide some type of insight? And even for us, if we didn't have any spiritual oversight, if no one was interceding for us, if there was not pastors, there were not apostles, or there were not prophets, if these people didn't exist, where would we be without leadership? If no one led in your home, and everyone that in the husband and wife just opted to do whatever they wanted to do, how would the mortgage get paid? Who would put the notice up there that the light bill was due? Who would put the notice that the gas bill is due? Who would put the notice that the insurance premiums are changing and we need to look for other type of insurance if no one was leading? And Proverbs talks a little bit about that in Proverbs 16 and 29. It says, "Cruel people trick their neighbors and lead them to do the wrong thing." So if we don't have godly leaders, if we don't have godly men and women of God who are willing to stand up and come out of the background and come up and say, "Okay, yeah, I will do this for God. I will lead in any capacity God needs me to, because we need good, godly people to do those things, not only in church, But we need these people in the workplaces. We need Christian men and women leading in the workplaces. There are so much things that go in the workplace that's unfair, that's unjust, that should not be happening. But we have so many people that are men and women of God who always say, I'm not interested in management. Oh, I don't want to go any higher than this. I don't want to be any role that makes any type of decisions. But these type of roles are needed. God needs us in high places because there are spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is a need. So the key thing that we want to just share for the first topic is the need. There is a need for leaders. I love followers. I love people that are in the background, and that's all fine and dandy because you know what? That is key as well. That's very important, the ones behind the scene making things work. But there's also very important that we have leaders to see the visions go forward and see the things accomplished in the way that God designed for them to be accomplished. So tonight, Sister Lewis, that's the first area you want to talk about is just the need. And I'm not sure if any radio listeners have called in, but we want to pause for a second. If you could, see if there's any questions as it relates to the need for God needing us to, as leaders.
Okay. Does anyone of our listeners on the line tonight have any questions for Minister Randall about the first topic, the need for leaders? I just have, maybe I might be jumping the gun, but I do have a question about how do you know that you are a leader, or how would you get into that role, put yourself into that role? Can you give me a little insight on that as to whether you maybe... How would you just tell if you, because see, I've always been a person on the backside. I don't want any glory. And I don't want to be out front. That's what I, that's me. That's what I say.
Right.
But
me
sometimes
as well. Yeah.
I feel like I want to lead. I feel like I want to be out front directing and giving inspiration and telling, you know, which way to go, which way to, I think is best. But how do you just know? How do you qualify?
Well, the first thing is I'll answer the first question is how do you know? Okay. For me and Sister Lewis, we have that thing in common. I, Wanda, Minister Randall, I prefer the background.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer doing things behind the scene. I prefer, you know, give me a list and I'll get it done. You can count on me to get it done. That's who I'm as a person. That's who I'm by nature. But even as a child, I found myself in situations where even when I tried to hide in the back, I was always being pulled to the front. Also, God bless him with the ability to be able to captivate an audience. So that means that even when I didn't know it, I was able to influence people. And I'm dependable. I take pride in being a person of my word. So those are the top three things. We'll get into a little bit more. It's just that A is that you find yourself being called on to do things. And even though you're seeing it from a background perspective, Someone has noted in you that this person is a leader because they see things through. Secondly, you have vision. A leader always has vision. God would not promote someone to leadership who doesn't have vision. So you see, you know, like, for example, GLOW, and it started off here, but my vision is for GLOW to be much greater than what it is. Or you see the women's annual retreat being here. You know, there's this amount of people there, but God is saying that it's something greater, and you're seeing that vision. That is always an indicator that you are a leader when you have vision, because God does give vision to leaders.
Okay. All right. I've noted that vision. All righty then. Does anybody else have a question? I see, is that Sister Gilmore, or I have two. Oh, that's you. did I have an 8716? Anybody else? Okay. Guess we asked any questions. Go right ahead.
So we'll go into very briefly to requirements. And this is the area that when we get into we want to distinguish between, we know what we've been taught in church, and the reality of it, the requirements. Because a lot of people say God doesn't have requirements of us to do work, and that's the biggest false statement I've ever heard. it's a very popular expression when we say God isn't interested in your ability, just your availability. So that's basically saying that he doesn't care what skill set you have. He just wants you to be available, and that is not true. He is interested in both. He wants us to be available, but he also wants us to have an ability to do the work that he's called us to do. He's interested in both of those. In fact, no good theology tells us that God is a God who gives us the ability to do what he has for us to do. So we have all these different gifts. When we accept him, he equips us for service. So in that service, it could be in the capacity of leader, and that's what we're talking about tonight, but it could be also in just the capacity of just servant. But we're focusing more on leadership tonight. So we don't want to get caught up in, well, he doesn't care about your ability, he just wants you to be available, because you have, when you're leading, that's totally different than someone who you're just asking to do one task. So if you're telling me, Minister Randall, your job is to do praise and worship every Sunday, yeah, okay, that I can do praise and worship every Sunday. That's not a problem. But if you're saying someone, okay, I want you to run the entire church, the skill set that I need to do praise and worship is totally different than the skill set that I need to do the entire church. Now, I can get up and do praise and worship and hit a wrong note or whatever, and it doesn't really impact anybody. So if I'm not the best soprano and I really should be singing alto, and I get off key in praise and worship, but I'm under the Spirit and I'm available to God, God comes in and bless, and the service just continues to go forward. No one's impacted by me hitting a wrong note. So as a lay member, as being assigned to a task, is the ability and availability equally important? No, they're not. It's important, but not equally important. When we talk about leadership, that means that we are responsible for somebody else. We are responsible. So that means that, yes, we should be available, but we should also have the ability to do what God has called us to do. And I don't mean this in the sense of, like education. I'm not saying that. And I know you have to have a bachelor's degree or anything like that, because God can equip you, but he has resources for us to better ourselves. So he's called us to leadership, and there's an area that you're deficient in. He doesn't expect for us to say, well, I just don't know how to do this, I'm not ever going to learn. He wants us to go out and develop a skill set. When you think about a job, let's talk about like a regular job, your 9-to-5, your 8-to-5, whatever job you have. There's no corporation in the world that would go out and run it by hire a CEO to run their company that has no skill set. They wouldn't.
Wow. Okay.
But it seems like we would focus more on developing worldly things like that benefit our job, but we don't focus on those skill sets to develop our kingdom-building skill set. And a lot of those skill sets are one and the same, but a lot of them are not.
Okay.
We would go out and get broke with student loans and everything you can to just get a name behind our, get letters behind our name. But when it comes down to ministry, when it comes to kingdom building, or if you're working with a nonprofit, if you're doing volunteer services at the homeless shelter, if you're dealing with abused women, whatever, or children, we should be developing those skill sets so that we're better and better, 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 better. We shouldn't just be going in and saying, hey, I'm going to pray for you, because people need more than just hearing that I'm going to pray for you. So those things are very, very important. Now, you don't get a promotion on your regular job if you don't develop yourself. If you have a job, you've been working at the same desk for 20 years, and you haven't learned anything for 20 years, eventually your boss, when y'all do sit down and do raise time, they're going to say, okay, Sister So-and-so, you've been here 20 years. You started off, keying 100 strokes at a time. 20 years later, you're still keying 100 strokes at a time. And so there's no more raises for you. You've maxed out the type of amount of money that we're going to pay you for the skill set that you bring to the table. And that's how it works. But we often close out business, and then we get in kingdom buildings, and we say, and when we start dealing with God, we want to say, well, God knows our heart. He knows I'm trying. But do we try more for the natural than we do try for God? Because I want my skill sets as it relates to kingdom building to be better than my skill sets for my 9-to-5 job, because at the end of the day, my retirement package comes from him, not from the job that I have 9-to-5.
Come on, man. You said something there. That is the truth. That's what I want to be in my crown for. I want to do my skills, use my skill sets for that retirement package, not for worldly retirement package. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said, no, you're fine. And so that's one of the things there that we need to check our, not only our availability, but we need to check our ability. One of the requirements that we're consistent, that we understand that we're shepherding people. And when you're dealing with people, you have to have the ability to feel people. You have to have the ability you have to have the right heart. Is another requirement. Is my heart right?
Okay.
That's one of the things that we need to just sit back and think, is my heart right? Because if our heart is not right, how in the world can we lead anybody?
You're right.
Our heart has that. That's the key thing. I find myself constantly searching my heart. Is my heart right? To become a mature in the way the Bible paints it, we must go through a heart surgery. So once we have to accept Christ and we have to ask God to just take our heart and replace it with his heart, because if we have not been converted, there's no other way that we can be a proper leader. And I don't care what type of area it's in. I don't care if you're doing it in corporate America. I don't care if it's your leader of the usher board. Your heart has to be right. For things to go the way God wants them to go, our heart has to be right. So that's the second key thing. A, you have to have ability, availability. B, we have to have the right heart. The next thing is that we have to make sure that we're called. And not only do we have to make sure we're called, we need to wait long enough to be chosen. And I want to explain that. Through the latter house, Dr. Carter shared a great word with us being about the call and chosen. Sister Lewis and Sister Gilmore, I believe you were in attendance. He gave the illustration, like I'm sitting in a room now, and the kids are in the other room. So if I call one of those kids, if I say whomever, and I call their name,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to do?
They're going
to come to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're going to come to where I am. They're not going to say, huh, way from the other room. So when God calls us, so to whoever's been called by God, he calls us because he wants mm-hmm. us to come to him. And when we come to him, then we go through the season of being nurtured, developed, giving us the ability, the skill set to do what we're chosen to do. So when we're called, if we stay with God, if we walk with God, if we listen to God, if we're submissive to God, if we have a heart of obedience to receive, and we stay with God, then he will choose us for our assignment. So being called is not just enough. A lot of people get called, and then they just start doing stuff, and then it's all just thrown off and jacked up, and they're wondering, well, wow, this didn't come out the way I thought it was supposed to come out. It's like he called me and said, well, how do you make a sweet potato pie? And I said, well, you boil your sweet potatoes, and then you hang up the phone. So you boil those sweet potatoes, you put them in that pie crust, and you pull that pie out, and you was like, this one looked like the pie Sister Wanda made. Because you didn't listen to everything I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You didn't hear me say add your milk, your nutmeg, your sugar, your butter. You didn't hear me, your vanilla, if you do vanilla, a pinch of this, pinch of that. You didn't stay mm-hmm. with me long enough to hear what I had to say. All you heard was get your sweet potatoes. And you're like, okay, sweet potato pie, boil them, whip them up, and threw them right on in that pie crust. Put it in there, and you thought you were really going to have some good pie, only for everyone is like, okay, Mama, we ain't going to do this. Or what is that? Is that a sweet potato pie? Never seen one like that before. Because we just got called, but we didn't wait to get instruction. So again, making sure that you have the ability, also being available, the right heart, being called and chosen, and then last but not least is being submitted.
Okay.
Submission is necessary. It's necessary. If you want to be a good leader and you want to be able to walk in the authority that comes with being a leader, you also have to be submissive. We also have to be submitted to God. A lot of leaders make mistakes because they walk into this thing and then they're like, okay, I got it, and I don't need anybody else. And they get to the point where they feel like they don't have to submit to anyone. And then they become the most awful leader. And no one wants to serve up under them because they're not submitted to anyone. They just want everyone to be submitted to them. They're not getting a word from anybody. They don't hear no more because I'm a leader. So I don't have to hear anymore. I don't have to listen anymore. So I'm just leading, leading, leading. I'm never getting feedback, and I'm just walking in myself, and I haven't submitted. And so God is not able to do what he needs to do in our life. So in order for us to walk in the right authority, we have to be submitted. We have to have the right mind. We have to have the right mind, and we have to have experiences. So a person who hasn't experienced anything would not make a good leader, because you only know one thing. But in leadership, you're dealing with all type of people, all type of people from every walk of life. So that means that you have to you have secular, worldly experiences. You've been saved your whole life and ain't never experienced anything. You can only lead a certain group of people.
Those with like minds like you, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't experienced anything else. Everyone else, you're casting away or judging because you haven't experienced anything. It's good to be able to have no work in a business environment so you can understand business. Because whether you're working in your church, on your job, nonprofit, whatever you're doing, you have to have business sense. And people fail to realize that when we get in church, we want to say, well, no, you don't need to. Yeah, I didn't say you have to have a degree, but you got to have business sense. You would have to know not to go stick $1 million in a CD that's not paying any interest on it. You would have to know not to go get a loan that you couldn't afford to pay back. So these are things we would have to know. You would have to know not to just have your the church account open to anybody, where they just come in and take money in as they please, and you have an honor system for the church account, the ministry account, or the nonprofit account. You would have to have some type of business knowledge to be a leader to make sure that things are running properly. And that doesn't mean that you have to know yourself, but you definitely need to have the intelligence to know, go get someone who knows, and then learn what they know. So when they're coming back and telling you something, you know enough about it to know what's true or what's false. An example is all the movie stars who know nothing about money, and they go out and they hire someone to manage all the money, only to end up broke. And they ended up broke because they didn't take the time to learn it themselves. They just trusted someone else with it and forgot all about it. They never took the time and said, well, let me take an accounting class to see if 2 plus 2 equals 4. Or if he's telling me that I'm getting a 5% return, that this actually equals 5%. So those are other things that we have to know. It's good to have different social experiences. Don't get so locked up and say I only deal with certain type of people, because if you only deal with certain type of people, you won't have a diverse ministry. You won't have a diverse organization. You won't have a diverse partnership if you only deal with certain type of people. And if everybody got the same mind, y'all not going too many places.
And you're not willing to open up your mind either and to go any further, because you're still under one mindset.
Absolutely,
and that's
right.
That's not good. Okay, I'm learning. Go ahead.
And last but not least, you must be faithful to be a leader, because people lead by example. If every time, and it's been almost 3 years now, if every time you that the member showed up for GLOW and I wasn't there, that would not look good. I invited you to GLOW. I said God had a word and you don't want to miss it. And every time that you come to GLOW, the person who's inviting you is never there.
Hmm.
We have to be faithful. We know that things happen, but for the 90% of the time, people should be able to say that we're people of our word. And don't get me wrong,
Amen.
Things happen. We have emergencies, people get sick, money get funny, all those things happen. But 90% of the time, the 90% of the people that know us as leaders should be able to say, you can count on them. Oh, if he said he's going to be here, he'll be here. Oh, if she said she's going to be here, she'll be here. We have to be faithful. The Bible tells us if you be faithful for a few things, he'll make us rule over many. So don't despise small beginnings. Something may have started off small, and God may have let it just by design be small just to see if you'll be faithful over it. And as you're faithful over it, then he begins to bless, he begins to grow, because now he knows, okay, I can trust him. I can trust her. They're going to do the right thing with this. So we talked about the need for leaders. We talked about the requirements. And so, Sister Lewis, we'll pause again for a couple of minutes to see if anyone has any questions before we go into the next segment.
Okay. Hello, listening audience. Do we have any questions?
I don't have a question. I have a statement, I guess. I find that sometimes when a person is a leader in the secular world and then they become a leader in the Christian in the layman's world, they bring this this attitude with them of, because they were a leader in that world, that they, the leadership is still the same, and they don't know how to deal with God's people. And it, sometimes it seems to me that, are we going by what God has told you to do, or are we going by the plan that you have? I mean, are you trying to make yourself big? You know, getting your, you know, so someone can say, oh, she did this or she did that, or is this something God told you to do?
That's a good point, and I'm so very, very glad you raised that point. I wasn't going to go there tonight, but I'm, since the door is open.
I'm sorry.
No. Since the door is open, I'm going to step right in. I am a leader in church and outside of church. Unfortunately, for a very long time, I separated the two. I did church like church, and I did corporate America like corporate America. But in doing so, I noticed that corporate America was growing, but church not so much. Because when we are given the gift to lead, to grow, to plan, to finance, a lot of times when we walk into church just out of fear of rubbing someone the wrong way, we take off our corporate hat and we put on our church hat, and I call it dummying down. So we find ourselves, instead of coaching the people up to where God wants us to be, we actually coach to the people's level because we don't want to offend anybody. And that's why you see so many churches where, I'm going to talk from a financial perspective. From a financial perspective, they're struggling, and they shouldn't be, because we're so concerned about how the people are going to receive what we're going to say, how this is going to look. But when we're working our job 9 to 5, we can care less about what people think. If our goal was to, you know, save the company $10,000 or $10 million, we would do what we ever had to do. And I'm going to say, even from a Christian perspective, not breaking any God's rules, and we would get it done. But when we get into church, we get very sensitive to people's feelings. And I think that's a flaw. I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's by design. When we come to church, we get so caught up in feelings. But as we study the Word of God and we really get into the Bible about organization and hierarchy, even when Jesus selected his 12 disciples, he did not select 12 people with not abilities. He had tax collectors. He had doctors. These are the type of people that he selected because he knew they could run the business of the church. But a lot of times in church, we take that hat off, and I think there has to be a balance. No, we can't come in cocky, but we can't come in stupid.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not saying come in and dummy yourself down to make someone else feel good, or, you know, just because you've always did it like that, we're going to keep on doing it like that because we know that's what you're comfortable in. Not at all. That wasn't what I was focusing on. But I have found personally some individuals that come in, and I'm a leader by nature. It was nothing that I chose to do.
Right.
It just followed me ever since I was small. You know, why are you asking me what to do? You know, when you're older than I am. So it's nothing that, you know, and my kids are the same way. It's like people just older than them, younger than them, same age, they just, you know, look to them to do whatever, and then they follow. And so with that responsibility, a lot of responsibility comes. I'm seeing a person who don't even realize how much responsibility is coming with that leadership, because you're going to be accountable for what you're doing and how people are following you and looking up to you, even when you don't even want that, because that's just who you are. And what I have found, or what I have seen, is someone who has came into a leadership role because they desire to be a leader as far as for their namesake.
Right, gotcha.
And to say things like, well, because now they're over a certain ministry, this ministry is going to turn it around.
Not God is going to work through this. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I got you.
And
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, the sense of, are you doing this for Christ? Or are you doing this for you? Because everything you're saying is not, it doesn't sound like glory to God, but glory to me, because now I'm over it, and now because I'm over it, this is how it's going to turn out. And being disrespectful to other people, and which has nothing to do with dominating down, but respect is due everyone, you know, and people are tiptoeing around you because they don't want to hurt your feelings, but you actually are not in the leadership role in the proper way. You're actually abusing it. It's like a dictatorship.
I got
your
you.
Way
and
way.
You're absolutely right. And we're going to talk a little about that when we get into character and on tonight.
Right.
You're absolutely right. I definitely understand your point now. And when someone comes in that way, those are things that have to be addressed by leadership, because that is not how God wants it to be. Anything that we're doing, and I'm going to say this for every aspect of our life, not just in church, not just in ministry, but we all have a purpose.
Right.
And the purpose is given by God. Purpose is not given to us by man. It's given to us by God. So whatever we're doing, it should be serving the purpose that God has given us for life. And so I'm a firm believer of that, regardless of what segment you're walking in, that it should be purpose. And God does not – that doesn't display the character of God. And we're going to talk about that, because you said something very important. And so when we go into character, we're going to come back to that, because that is very important, very, very, very important. So I thank you for that.
Okay.
Also, Randall, go along with your motives for why you are leading, or doesn't it have something to do with motive, to be seen, to be heard?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You think you're, you know, all of that in a bag of chips, and it's not God. That's not a godly sign. That's a sign that you're in this for yourself.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
okay.
right. And
okay,
God does not want us to be that way. To the sister that was speaking, and Sister Lewis, God doesn't want us to be that way. And you had to just sit back. And I sat back, and I don't get mad. I actually get it hardens my heart. It makes me very sad when I see people carry on that way, and then they wonder why they never got anywhere, or they're not going anywhere. Because if it's not for the glory and honor of God, it will never go anywhere. And if it does, it's only temporary. It's only temporary.
And
only
my
temporary.
Is I'm thinking about the people who you're affecting. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It because my personality is strong, you're not going to affect me. I'm going to bring it to you and tell you point blank this, not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you real, you know, about how you're looking, about how you're speaking, how, you know, I'm not going to go behind your back and talk to other people. I'm going to let you know, at the same time, I'm not trying to break you down. I'm actually trying to encourage you to be a better leader, a better listener, a better person that can hear God more clearly, so you can teach the people what they need, you know.
Absolutely.
But they don't always work like that. You know, they don't always take the information. You know what I'm saying?
That's so very true. But it's not our job to make them take it. It's our job to deliver it.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I need to hear that.
It's not our job. Yeah, it's our job to deliver. When we stand before God, He's going to say that you say what I said, and all we can do is say, "Yes, Lord, I did," and He'll say, "Job well done." When they come through the line, and He said that you listen, then that's between them too.
Okay, good.
But our job is just getting our job, and this what you brought up actually covered a lot of the things, because the next topic is your ministry, because a lot of people work in ministry, and when I say ministry, I don't mean just church. Okay, I want to make that clear. I don't mean just church, and there's different vast ways that we minister, that we do things for God, and it's not always like ministry. The word that we've associated with church is not always that, but you know, we're often assigned tasks to do. People often call us to do certain things. And so the question is like, how I get this question all the time, how do you know your ministry? How do you know what your ministry is? How do you identify your ministry?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question
that
people always ask.
Yeah, I can see. I'm still trying to identify mine.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I am. Yeah, I'm not all that sure.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the things about it is, Go ahead, Sister Lewis.
No, I was just going to tell her, I believe that she knows where she is. It's just that it's in development, and as I always tell her, is she bootlegging it, but it's coming. it's coming out. The bootleg is coming out.
Well, I want to let y'all know that God does not keep any servants just be idle. They have been received, their own from him. He's given us something.
Yes.
And he has given us all something because he wants us to manifest the things on earth that he's given us. So in Ephesians, it talks, Ephesians 4 and 12, it says, Christ gave those gifts, ministry to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving to make the body of Christ stronger. So first of all, I want to let you know that everyone on this call tonight, regardless of what your ministry is, what your role is, the purpose of it is to make the body of Christ stronger. So don't ever make anyone think that their role or your call is different or higher or lower. There's no levels of it when it comes to things that God has called us to do. But the purpose serves as to make the body of Christ stronger. So we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, pastors, we have teachers, and all those things have subcategories that fall up under them. So some of the things we think about is, you know, we look at our skill set, we look at the things that burns in our hearts to do. And then we discuss the values of the inner sense, your intuition. What is your intuition saying? What is your critical ability? What is your natural tendency? Then you wait on a prophetic confirmation. So what is my inner sense saying? My inner sense was saying to me in 2010 that Minister Randall, the children's ministry, is no longer for you. God is moving you into something else. I'm like, okay, God, what? But something was telling me that children just wasn't in. And I had ministered to children for 10 years, and I loved it. I loved working with the kids. At the same time, I was also going through a very, very tough time as a woman, as a mother, going through divorce and, you know, and teen pregnancy and all these things that I was challenging as a mother. And so then I started thinking about my ability, the things that my skill sets were, teaching, training and development is my career. Then my natural tendency is to love. My natural tendency is secure. I'm not a catty person. I'm not a – and those who know me on the phone, you can probably count the times you talk to me on a cell phone if it ain't related to this or ministry, because I'm not a phone person. I'm not one of those, you know, girly girls who like to be on the phone gossiping and talking and things. Even if it's good stuff, I'm just not a phone person. That's never been me. I'm more of a carrier. I'm a writer. I like poetry. I like helping people. I like getting to the root cause of stuff and fixing it. So what else better for me than working with women who have been broken, who need to be restored, who need virtue restored to them? This is what I'm feeling. This is what my spirit is feeling. And so guess what? God sent someone along to give for prophetic confirmation on what God was calling me to do. And not only that, I had a desire to do it. So how do you identify your ministry? Number one, what is your inner sense? And your inner sense is your intuition. What is your intuition telling you? B, what is your ability? The third thing, what is your natural tendency? What do you naturally do? What is your natural tendency? The next thing, has God sent prophetic confirmation? And for those you have covering, overseers, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, things like that, those people in life that connect with you, have they spoken a word to you? Without you telling them, has God sent confirmation? And then last but not least, you got to have a desire. Because the ministry would go nowhere without a desire. And after God has identified to you what you have to do, you have to develop it. Number one, I don't care how many letters behind your name. I don't care if you're prophet, prophetess, bishop, whatever title, because there's so many titles out there now. Regardless of what it is, in order for your ministry to develop, you want to be a great leader. Number one, you have to stay teachable. You must have a teachable spirit. Two, you must be submissive to authority. Because if you won't submit to anybody, why would you think someone would submit to you?
Come on.
Three, you must be proactive as a leader. If you sit around talking about what we're going to do and never get anything done, we'll be in November of 2016 and you'll still be talking about it. So as a leader, sometimes people don't follow you immediately because they're still trying to figure you out, trying to feel you out. They may even still be hating. little jealousy going on there. So you may, sometimes you step in leadership, you don't have the support that you need in the beginning. So that means that you have to do things on your own. So you have to stay proactive, whether you have one person following you or you have 100 people following you. You must stay proactive. The fourth thing, you must stay focused. Not on the people, but the purpose. So once God has identified your ministry and he said that your ministry is divorce care ministry, if he says your ministry is, you know, pre-treatment for people who've been on drugs, if your ministry is children ministry, if your ministry is street ministry, I'm looking for a team, ladies who are willing to go into the strip clubs and minister to these women. I wasn't playing with y'all when I told y'all that. If God has called you to do that, hint, just putting that out there, whatever God's called you to do. You must remain focused, because when you accept the role, believe me, the devil is coming like nothing. He's coming like, hey, he's bringing every trick, every tactic. So you have to stay focused. So when something goes wrong, you can't get off focus. You have to say, okay, the purpose is, okay, so I cuss you out today. Okay, but the purpose is, okay, my money's a little short over here, but the purpose is, oh, they made me mad, but the purpose is, this person has all this skill set, but there's something I don't like about them. Okay, but the purpose is, because believe it or not, they're going to be people that you work in ministry that you don't like, but they get the job done. You don't have to like them. Focus on the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
She type real good, and she get things done, and she get the people there that you need there. That's fine. It's okay that she smacks her gum, and you just that smacking just driving you crazy. That's not the purpose. So we have to stay focused on the purpose. We must be resilient. And we must be patient. As you develop your ministry, do not expect for it to blow up overnight. Don't expect for the first event you have that if people show up, that's great, if everybody's there the first time. But if they don't, just be patient. Just be patient. So that's on knowing your ministry, how you know your ministry. And once you know what your ministry is, how to continue to develop your ministry. So we're going to pause there, and we have about 15 minutes, so we'll take maybe one question, Sister Lewis, and then we'll go into the last two so we can close out.
The line is open, ladies. If there are any questions, go ahead and feel free to ask right now. Comment, suggestion to Minister Randall. It's an open line for you right now. Anything on your mind, anything burning, question you want to answer, or do you have a burning comment of what we've learned so far tonight?
I have a question on developing your ministry, and to just, you know, not allow it to, even if it's not going, you know, as you had thought it should go, to let it or fall by the wayside, and being okay with not knowing every single solitary plan, you know, going forward, you know, not knowing the exact, because God hasn't revealed that to you, how do you keep the people that are in the ministry, that are working with you, alongside of you, encourage and developing the ministry when I don't have every single answer to everything? I just know he told me to do this, and so I'm putting that in play.
You be transparent. That's why, and I think I heard Sister Gilmore and Sister Lewis is on here. GLOW, the women ministry that I work with for the last 3 years in this season, I told them that God is leading me somewhere different with GLOW. I said, she hasn't spoke clearly what it's going to be at this time. He said he's taking it somewhere. He said he's taking it somewhere different and told me to just be patient. But he hasn't told me where. And so when I reach out to the women that are faithful followers of the ministry, I just let them know. I said, women of God, got it. And he's spoken to me, said he wants to do something great. He just has not given me the direction as to what that's going to be. So I'm praying and I'm seeking God. In the meantime, here's the information I continue to share with you to keep you motivated. So daily devotionals that I'm sending out to the women of God. periodic emails or just praying. And when God reveals them to me, that I'm reaching out to them personally and say, you came before me today, then God said this. But I think that to answer your question, the key thing is just transparency, because there are periods in our ministry where God is just saying, wait. And those faithful followers, they're going to wait with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then maybe also the season for the ones who really not ride or die. This may be, God also uses opportunities to have those walk away that wasn't really with you in the first place in the beginning. And he identifies those people by doing a hold a slow down period. Because people can roll when things rolling, but can you roll with my tire flat?
Right. That's where I.
Minister Randall, wouldn't it be proper to say also that? Okay, I'm sorry, Jen. I was going to ask Minister Randall, wouldn't it be proper to say that when God has a purpose or mission for you, for your ministry, he will drop the same kind of people who has your enthusiasm and your passion for what you're doing in your surroundings, you know, the people that you hang out with are the people that you know that has the same passion. Isn't that the way he does it?
That is exactly what God does. He brings to you what you need for that ministry to be successful, because keep in mind, he gave you the vision.
Right.
And it's his desire that the vision go forward. But at the same time, in the season when we're waiting, he also does it to pull back the cover, because a lot of times we connect it to people who we think for us who are not. And he has to slow things down for us to identify, so that we can get rid of those people before we go into that season, so all our hindrances are removed. So the Bible says, let the wheat and tares grow together, and the day of harvest he'll do the separating.
Yep.
So you don't find the weeds until it's time to harvest, you know, until sometimes they're hard. So he has to remove things sometimes. And so this is not always, but oftentimes, in our waiting period is when God is just doing that. That's because that's how our daddy is. He said, let me go ahead and get this out their way, because they don't really know it's in their way. So, but if they go any further with it, it's going to stop them from getting where they're trying to go. So we're just going to slow down a little bit, let them go and fall off, and then we're going to pick back up with the right people.
Yeah, he'll give us the spirit of discernment all at the same time too, and then that's when we can back up or slow it down or start waiting on what he has for us, right?
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to give me 2 minutes to go over our last topic, and then we can wrap up, because I don't want to go over my time tonight. And so we're going to talk about developing character and godly motive. Okay. So Abraham Lincoln said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. And then we go to the biblical portion of that, and in 1 Samuel 15:17 says, so Samuel said, when you are little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you as king? So before you got all big-headed and puffed up. So self-defense, self-congratulation, self-importance, attention-demanding, self-promotion, isolation for fellowship, and rejection of authority are all signs of pride. The greatest enemy of all leaders is pride. So one thing that we have to, those things, self-defensive, self-congratulating, self-important, those are not characters of Christ. That's pride. Without question, more ministries have been just destroy because of pride for any other reason. That is why it's very important that we keep ourselves humble before God and never let people push us up so high we start to think we get this pride and we're thinking that we're better. We have to be real in the eyes of those who watch us. We have to be accountable, and we have to be good stewardess of the things that God wants us to do. Godly character is the mark of true Christian maturity. Godly character. No servant in God's kingdom can avoid character building if we want to be like God. We must build our character if we want to be like God. What character we build? Accepting responsibility, being generous, being persistent, leading by example, and giving people godly motivation to serve. What does God's word say about it? What are God's benefits to it? Why does God want us to serve? Why does God want us to be a part of this ministry? Not door prizes and trinkets. Because after a while, they gonna get all the door prizes. So what? How are you gonna motivate them now?
I'm sorry, Juan. You just said a word. If you just didn't hit the, woo.
How do you know door prizes come to Bible study?
You just don't know what you just did. Bless the Lord. See, confirmation. Thank you, Jesus.
And our motivation should always be godly motivation. Whatever I do relate to ministry, whatever I'm sowing into, it should never have anything to do with because you're my friend or because I like him or I like her. It should always, where we sow our money, where we sow our time, if I'm tithing, if I'm sowing a seed somewhere, it should only have a godly motive. I should not be sowing my seed for any other reason. And the people trip out and they act a fool because their motives are not right. Indeed, they don't get what they want, and then they want to clown. But if your motives are right, you better do things the right way. And our only motive should be to serve God's purpose. What is God's purpose? Did God tell me to give this $20? So if God told me to give this $20 or $20,000, I ain't tripping about it if God told me to do it. So we always have to question our motives, and we should stop and do that. And don't be ashamed to do that. If they say, bring this $100 print, you're taking your $100, what's your motive? You trying to be seen? Or did God tell you to give it? Because if God told you to do it out of obedience, God's going to bless you. If you're trying to do it to be seen, then your phone is off, then that's on you. What is our motive behind what we do? So tonight, we thank you for listening tonight. We talked about our first series of leadership, the need, the requirements, your ministry, developing character, and godly motive. So I hope that something's been said tonight that blesses each of you. And, Lachandra, I'm not sure the next night that we have, but I think this is an important topic, so we may even do a part two on the next session that we have for myself and for the Ladder House. And so, I thank you all for listening tonight. I hope God has something has said to bless you tonight. And so, Chandra, I'm going to give it back into your hands at this time.
Well, Minister Randall, I wanted to make sure that you do know that the first Monday falls on December the 1st. Next Monday will be the first Monday, which will be December the 7th. Sunday is the 6th, but it's going to be the 7th, so you'll be back next Monday.
Okay, we'll do part two. We'll go into part two of this on then.
Okay, well, wonderful. Thank God for you tonight, and thank you for participating with us, ladies, tonight. Thank you for all those that are on the line and they that are so silent tonight. And I'm going to give you opportunity, if you have any questions or anything burning in your heart, or if you just want to make a comment on tonight's topic, you can feel free to do that. We can go over a few minutes. It's okay if the Spirit is moving you to say something or you have a comment or something, or some burning question you have, feel free to go ahead and ask it at this time.
Good evening, Minister Lewis, Minister Randall, and everyone that's on the line.
Amen. Hello.
Good evening.
Pastor Henderson.
Hello.
All right.
I've been on the line since 8:30. I've enjoyed some of the things that I've heard. I think what you're doing, Minister Lewis, is very, very, very wonderful. I just want to make sure we don't fall on the side of condemning and judging, because now I'm speaking from a pastorship stance. And I do like the teaching, and I can't wait to hear part two, Lord's will, on next Monday night.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for your encouraging words, and we will make sure that we follow the path that God has led us into this, and I thank God for Minister Randall and the opportunity for her to come on and give us this inspiring information that we all need as we go about our daily movements. And just thank God for each of you that are listening tonight, and hopefully that you will come back on next Monday night, December the 7th, and join us for part two of Leadership with Minister Randall And as usual, Minister Randall, we want you to go ahead and close us out with a word of prayer. If you have, do you have any closing comments or before you pray?
I just again, thank you all for listening in tonight, and thank you for the opportunity. And I thank God for Sister Beverly opening up the invite for us to be here. So, again, we thank you all, and we be praying for next Monday night that God will come and give us an awesome word that will help all of us. So, Father, we thank you for just the visitation of your Spirit, God. We come each time that we connect expecting for you to show up, God, and expecting for you to be present, God. God, continue to crown our heads with wisdom and knowledge of your word so that we may effectively apply your word to our life and be the kings and the sons and daughters that you call us to be, Father, as we do your work. Now, Father, we ask that you anoint everyone that's on this call, God. Those who are just have questions in their mind today, God, we ask you to minister to them on tonight and meet them at the point of their need. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory.